Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45 is our text this morning. And this is God's word. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is now the third statement that Mark records where Jesus explicitly told his disciples what would happen regarding his crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus knew he was going to the cross because there was no other way that we could be saved. And Jesus explicitly and repeatedly told his disciples, not just, "Trouble's coming, fellas. Hey, listen, don't let it catch you off guard, but something bad may happen when we get to Jerusalem." They had already tried to warn Jesus, "I don't think you want to go back there. Remember last time you were there, there were people trying to kill you." And Jesus has told them, "I'm going to die." Book of Acts. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit is speaking through various people, warning that he's going to be arrested and treated horribly. And so their conclusion is, "Paul, don't go. The Holy Spirit says the one whose belt this is going to be bound like this." And he says, I'm ready to die." You and I need to understand, on the one hand, why these guys would find that so hard to accept. On the other hand, why it is absolutely vital that we embrace what God says about suffering and death and resurrection. Because otherwise, we're not going to be prepared to live for him. Now, as Jesus tells them this, I want you to look. Let's quickly look back at 8:31 and 32. Okay? Don't lose your place here. But 8:31 and 32. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Okay? Please notice the words, he spoke plainly about this. Is that pretty clear? He spoke plainly about this. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Now look at chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. Because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Well, why didn't they understand what he meant? Because it was an unacceptable idea. It was a horrible thing to contemplate. So now again, in chapter 10, Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise. You and I have never seen a crucifixion. Some of us saw Mel Gibson's portrayal of the Passion of the Christ. And I literally know at least one man who fainted trying to watch that. Because just depicted on screen, it is so horrible. And by the way, the movie doesn't have a 3-hour crucifixion scene. Okay? Just a few minutes of seeing the torture that was inflicted on our Lord, it just is exhausting, distressing. These guys had seen crucifixions before. Rome did this in order to intimidate the people they enslaved. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not be crucified. You could be executed, but not crucified, because it was such a horrific, torturous death that it was illegal. No matter what your crime, it was illegal to crucify a Roman citizen. But if you were not a Roman citizen, be warned. This can happen to you. And a person who was crucified wasn't just hung up on a cross. The person who was crucified was beaten, stripped naked, and put on public display. You were obliterated. And as you hung there, gasping for air, having to push with your legs in order to get another breath, people mocked you. I just can't believe people would do that. Oh, you don't know mankind. You haven't studied history. It's not just something that happened in the 20th century or back in the time of Christ. It's happened before the time of Christ and ever since. Human nature is not kind. And when somebody is suffering, those who see it, many of them will mock and add to the suffering. It happens with bullying in schools. It happens with domestic abuse. It happens with all kinds of different situations. People can be cruel. These guys had seen that. And so the idea of someone they loved being killed in that way, surely that just couldn't be so. To us, the cross is now a thing of beauty. We glory in the cross because of what was accomplished there. But for them, they had no such concept. The cross was the most horrible picture of death and oppression. And so when Jesus tried to tell them over and over and over, they simply shut it out.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now what follows is even more distressing. Look at verse 35. I love the fact that God inspired the biblical authors to be so honest about what a bunch of immature turkeys they were. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. If anybody, even a grandchild, ever comes to you saying, I want you to commit to do whatever I ask before I tell you what I want, don't be a fool and say, okay. Don't do that. What these guys were asking, don't let anybody box you into that. And Jesus didn't. He didn't say, okay. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He's going to ask someone else that question later in this chapter. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Okay? I mean, you only got two sides. We want those two seats. How many of you are old enough to remember back when there were no seat belts in cars and the great seat was called shotgun? Anybody remember that? Okay. See, younger people, I haven't heard that by this next generation. But it used to be people would run to the car yelling, I got shotgun! Now, they didn't carry a shotgun with them, but apparently this goes back to the stagecoach days. If you got to be on the outside, if you were the one with the shotgun, okay? Because you were going to protect the stage. I think that's where that came from. Certainly wasn't from an individual on horseback, because it would be a meaningless thing. I got shotgun, okay? So the idea was, I'm getting the prime seat, okay? I want to be the one who gets that. Johnny's going to have to ride in the middle, okay? You remember riding in the middle? The drive shaft went underneath, and there's a big hump, and it wasn't as comfortable. And you'd try and have one foot on this side and one foot on the other, or else your knees would be on your chin. These guys are saying, we want the best seats in the house, okay? It wasn't, Jesus, we just love being close with you. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's just told them he's about to die, and they're saying, I don't know what he's talking about, but I believe he's going to be the king, and we want the best seats, okay? And Jesus' response is perfect. He says, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Folks, that applies to so many things. When you and I pray, not being guided by the Spirit, but just being guided by the flesh, we don't know what we're asking. We think we've got a great idea. And so we go to God with it. And we're going to tell God what we think would just be splendid if he would do that for us. And God says, you don't know what you're asking for. Are you ready to drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And their response isn't, oh, we hadn't thought of that. Their response is, we can. Again, these are adults acting like little children. When Jesus said you got to be like a little child in order to enter the kingdom, this is not what he meant. Okay? But Jesus responds, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. Isn't that interesting? Even in this moment, in dealing with these men, Jesus is deferring to his Father. How did he do the miracles he did? He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Now, when the 10, the others, one of whom was Judas, by the way, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Well, good. I mean, somebody should be indignant with these guys for their stupid, immature behavior. The problem is, the reason they were indignant was not because they understood Jesus is going to the cross and you're trying to get him to play favorites here. No, it was because I wanted to ride shotgun. I said yesterday, next time we go for a car ride, I want shotgun. These guys are upset with James and John because James and John were trying to get the good seats, and we want the good seats. Would you want to go to the cross for people like this? I wouldn't want to go to the cross for me. I wouldn't. It's astounding that with Jesus about to die, having told them, I'm about to be crucified and I'm going to rise again, they still have completely missed what Jesus calls all of us to as well. And that is, if anyone would be my disciple, he must take up his cross and follow me. You're going to have to die to self. Jesus, because these guys were now upset with each other, you've got 12 men acting like children and at odds with each other, and Jesus is going to have to help them. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Please notice, every word there matters. Those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. He didn't say those who are the rulers. Because all that kind of rule is ultimately an illusion. It passes away so quickly. Well, Romans 13 says there's no authority except that which is ordained by God. Therefore, we're to submit to the authorities. Yeah, absolutely. But Jesus is saying, do you understand that the way the whole world system operates is a perversion of God's plan for authority? Don't aspire to be like that. Don't try and organize your family or your church or your community so that you get to be the boss. Okay? Always fighting for rank. Those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the Word of God through whom all things were created. He comes to his own, and his own did not receive him. And he said, well, forget you, I'm out of here. No. He went to the cross. And hanging there, he would say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If that is the way he regards us, what does he call us to? Give people a chance. They don't take it. Give them another chance, maybe. But three strikes, buddy, and you're out. Aren't you glad God didn't do that with you? Jesus says he came in order to be the servant and give his life as a ransom for many. Wow, what a great Savior. Yes, indeed, what a great Savior. We have a glorious Lord. But he wants to live his life through us. And that means for every one of us, there's a cross. That we learn daily to die to self in order to serve God by serving others. See, if my self-denial is just a matter of I'm going to wear a hair shirt, sleep on a bed of nails, and only eat tofu, that's not going to benefit anybody except the people who make nail beds, hair shirts, and tofu. But if my self-denial involves serving others, being concerned about what they need, well, that becomes a whole lot more complicated because, I mean, I don't know how the people are that are around you, but my experience has been that some of the people that I would try to serve, after a while, it's a real turnoff. I mean, it's totally demoralizing. They're not getting it. They don't say, oh, thank you so much. Wow, I can't believe you did that for me. I'm so grateful. You're such a wonderful person. Even when their attitude is like that of a jerk, I'm supposed to say, my pleasure. Where did Chick-fil-A get that? They got it from the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Not nearly as many people have been to the Ritz-Carlton as have been to Chick-fil-A. But Chick-fil-A got that from the Ritz. Where'd the Ritz get that? Horst Schulze, the founding CEO of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, who is a believer and a friend. But where did Horst get that? He got it from Jesus. He got it from Jesus. And you and I are supposed to get that from Jesus. So that our attitude is not focused on getting the best seat for ourselves. Our attitude is focused on serving the needs of others. That's what he calls us to. It'll involve a cross. It'll involve dying to self. It'll involve putting others first. But what God has promised is that there is great reward. Great reward. Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus rose from the dead as conqueror over death. Jesus didn't escape death. He conquered death. He destroyed death so that you and I don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. We can focus just on serving him by serving others as he directs.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.